straight out of Austin, Texas. It's On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com, with your hosts, Statesman sports columnists Cedric Golden and Kirk Bowles. Often imitated, never duplicated. Hear it here first on Second Thought.
Welcome to On Second Thought, the Austin American Statesman Sports Podcast. This is episode 173. My name is Cedric Golden, and I'm joined by Kirk Bowles, a.k.a. The Duck. And Duck, we've had a lot of great broadcasters on, but man, I don't know if any tops this guy. Hall of Famer, Emmy Award winner, and he is the spearhead behind the Jimmy V Foundation, Cure for Cancer, millions raised. His friends call him Dickie V, but we're going to respectfully call him Dick Vitale. How are you, sir?
I'm doing really great. Excited as a season ticket holder with the Bucks down here that Tom Brady decided to wear our uniform. Finally, I'll have a difficult time giving them my tickets. Were unbelievable. Nobody wanted them last year, but right now, trust me, everybody's going to want them.
You got that right. Are you wearing your Tampa Bay Tom Brady jersey yet?
I'm going to get one, that's for darn sure. I've been texting with the coach today, Bruce Arians, who, by the way, is obviously on cloud nine, and just is so great for the franchise. It really is. You know, the only thing that stands in my mind, though, is as happy as I am, I've been all over on the NFL networks. And, in fact, I'm going up on the NFL network a little later, but I've been on Sirius Radio, NFL. I've been on different radio stations, people calling about it. And the one thing that stands in my mind, I don't know about you guys, I just cannot comprehend. I can hear all the love words coming out of the mouth of Belichick and all the love words out of the owner Kraft. And I just find it mind-boggling to think that they weren't able to keep him in the uniform. Because just like Derek Jeter with the Yankees, certain guys, I never, ever in my wildest dreams would have thought that Tom Brady would not be in a Patriots uniform.
I'm the same way, Dick. It's like Emmitt Smith with the Arizona Cardinals or Franco Harris with the Seattle Seahawks.
Joe Montana.
With the Chiefs. Yeah, none of it just doesn't feel right. But you know what? To the victors goes the spoils. And you're unloading Jameis Winston and those 35 interceptions, and you're bringing in the greatest quarterback of all time. Do you know Tom Brady, and have you reached out to him?
No, I do not know him, but I did sit with him one time and laughed, had a great time with him at an NBA finals. He was sitting next to me up in the same seats, and we talked there, and you know, just very, very just friends, just talking about sports. But no, I do not know him. I will definitely reach out once this gets all settled down, because you know, I'm a big fan. I'm like you. I think he's the greatest of all time, no matter what happens. No matter what happens here with the Bucks, I mean, 20 years, 17 divisional titles, 6 Super Bowls, all kinds of MVP awards. But I just think there had to be something, you know, all those words, we love you, we made a mission to them, something that we do not know had to transpire for him to leave there.
It almost wonder if Belichick wanted to see if he could win on his own, and maybe Tom felt that way a little bit too. You think that's possible?
Yeah, you know, egos get involved. There's no doubt about that, too. You read a lot of stuff. I think that definitely could play a role, play a part. His dad, I guess, was quoted in 2015. I read an article today on Tom's dad. He thought this would happen a lot sooner.
Yeah, he did. I remember him saying that.
And you got to remember, and you remember also, Kirk and Dick, Jimmy Garoppolo, Belichick did not want him to go.
Yeah.
And Kraft and Brady, I think, wanted Jimmy G out of there because Brady is convinced that he can play as long as he wants. And I think that kind of stuck in Belichick's craw. And so I'm one of those people, and this is one man's opinion. I don't know that Bill Belichick is that broken up about it, despite all the public, love fest for Tom Brady. I think thinks that he's a great enough coach that he can win with any quarterback.
Well, you find out in this league or the NFL – or the NBA, you need players, you need stars. I mean, look no further than the Golden State Warriors. Steve Kerr did a magnificent job the way he handled all the egos of the superstars, getting them to blend together, and he won and won big. I like to believe today, after all those years of experience and winning, that he's probably even more prepared than ever to coach in the NBA. But unfortunately, there's no Curry on the floor. He's playing now, but there wasn't Curry. There wasn't the kind of guys, you know, Durant and Thompson. And what happened? Take a look at the record. L after L after L. You need, at the level, when you talk to that level, you need players, man. Big-time players. And if you don't have them, it'd be interesting to see who they're going to sign for quarterback when you talk about the Patriots. Maybe they'll get Jameis Winston.
Now, you shouldn't wish that on anybody.
Oh, wow.
I got to know him.
Yeah.
I got to know Jameis.
Well, he put up really, some big numbers.
I firmly believe this, guys, Cedric and Kirk. I really believe, as far as his immature acts and the mistakes he made in the past, I think they're gone. He's got a child now, and I think he's really turned that corner. When he has to turn the corner, now we can look at these mentioned early. He had 30 interceptions,
right.
Turnovers. He had a 33 touchdown passes, 5,200 yards. But if you study and you look at his skill level, mm-hmm. and he's 26 years old, I'm telling you, I think I'm going to take a chance for a quarterback. I really do that. I really believe in it.
And somebody might get him really cheap, too.
Too talented.
You're right. And, you know, Tampa Bay hadn't made the postseason since 2007, Cedric.
Wow.
And now he's got Mike Evans to throw to, Chris Godwin, O.J. Howard. He's got some weapons there, doesn't he?
Oh, they got weapons. They're going to get a running back, and they got a little stronger. I remember season ticket holder, like I said, for years. And they got to get a better running back, and they got to get a little more strength on that offensive line. Defense is going to be tough. And Bruce Arians is the perfect coach for anybody that's a quarterback. The guy is just great with players. He communicates well with them, and he has a great feel for what's going on.
And you're a big baseball nut, too. I know you follow the Tampa Rays. I don't know if you're a season ticket holder for both those franchises, but I know you're...
I am. I've been a season ticket holder since day one with the Rays. My seats with the Rays, they touched the visiting dugout. Nobody knows this story. They wanted me to be a minority owner when they formed the team. I was good friends with the owner, Vince DiMoli. He was the founder. Vince passed away about a year ago. Great guy. And bottom line is, you know, my guys looked at it, my financial people, they said, Dick, let's just throw money away. You're not going to make, you know, I wasn't going to be any pig owner, a couple million bucks, and I would get all the perks you get going to clubhouse, great, the best seats in the stadium. And my financial guy said, Dick, you can just buy those tickets. You don't need to waste that million. So anyway, I told the owner, I'll tell you what I do. I can't do that. I said, but I want to buy 4 season tickets, and they had not put them up for sale yet. I said, I want choice seats. I want the first row next to the visitor's dugout. And I've had them since day one. I mean, I sit there, like, practically talking during the game to managers, to having a blast. I just love being there.
I bet you do. And what's your thinking on baseball season? Are we going to have a baseball season? Is it going to start on 4th of July? What's your opinion on baseball starting up?
Well, my opinion really is this, guys. I'm bored out of my mind right now. I really am.
I've been on a number of radio shows,
but not having basketball. I used to run right away to the NBA stats to see what guys I covered in college, what they were doing. I used to run to look at the box scores. I'm such a fanatic for baseball. I would track down what's happening in the minor leagues with our prospects in the Rays. We got a one prospect, I can tell you right now. His name is Wander Franco. Wanda Franco.
I've heard
Remember
of him.
Remember that name?
I've heard of him.
He's 18, I think he's just turned 19, switch hitter, shortstop. They claim he's the best prospect in baseball. And I wish the Rays, rather than screwing around, keeping him in the minor leagues, I wish they would do what some of these teams do. Because you either have it or you don't have it. Guys like Griffey and Rodriguez, these guys came up at 18 and showed they could play. Right now you got the guy up there with the Braves, Acuna. You got the guy down there, Tatis, with the Padres. Hey, if you're good, they tell me this kid. I ran into a guy that's a big-time scout, and he didn't want me to give his name because he's going to get in trouble, but he's a big-time scout from one of the other teams. And he said to me, Dick, I'll tell you right now, Franco right now could hit 315, 320 in the majors, steal about 30 bases, feel like you can't. He said, you got the best prospect in baseball.
What are they waiting on, Dick?
Man.
I know. It drives me nuts. They're waiting on because of, you know, salary, something about, I don't know, something about you kick into free agency a lot earlier.
Right. It's controlling his rights for so long, exactly.
Yeah.
That's a lot to do with it. Well, we're hoping it starts up. We missed out on the NCAA basketball tournament, and I'm sure you were devastated by the news, but it was the right thing to do, right?
absolutely, you know, priority's got to be. I mean, I've said for years, I think that the 3 weeks of March Madness is the greatest sporting event of all. I feel that way now.
It's never disappointed.
People that don't agree with me, but I think for 3 weeks, grandma, grandpa, people that don't follow college basketball, they get so fired up. They can't wait, man, to put on the sweatshirt of the team they want to follow. And it becomes just party for 3 weeks. It's unbelievable. And to have that taken away, I feel for all the players, the coaches, a city like Dayton where they had a great opportunity. I was there for one of their last games of the year to do a game. And the fever and the hysteria that was going on was unreal. But, you know, saying all that, priority's got to be number one, the safety and the health of all the people and our people. And it's a scary time right now. And really, we just got to follow what people are telling us and got to rely on all the experts out there and got to do the things they say. I mean, I wash my hands more now than I've ever washed.
Me too. You know what, Dick? And I've heard this said many times about the tournament. It's the one event in all of sports that has never disappointed us. It's always great.
Yeah, I buy that. I really, because it's a 3 week. It's not just a one game thing. Yeah, Super Bowl's great. This is 3 weeks, man.
It's a party.
3 weeks of upsets, shocks, surprises. Hey, what was the word down there? Texas was going to be in, or they had to beat Texas Tech in that game to get in.
Right. Probably have to win at least a game again. Are you surprised Shaka hadn't done better here at Texas in 5 years?
You know, they had so much going for him, and Shaka happened to be like Shaka a lot. And the record certainly is not what I think a lot of people anticipated. But he's did it, you know, in fairness to the guy. Players leave early, a lot of injuries. You guys know more about the Texas situation than I do.
Right.
But I think all those things played a fact that, you know, you got to give credit for this. They came on strong with five in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Five in a row.
Yep.
At the end. And then they get blown out at home mm-hmm. by Oklahoma State. That shocked me.
Yep.
I thought when they won those five in a row, I said, they're dancing now. They're locks.
Yeah.
But then they put themselves back on a bubble.
Yeah. That's been the lack of consistency. That's been the struggle for them. You know,
his job is safe, though, isn't it? Because they were talking about he was out of there.
Well, we don't know yet, but I'm betting it is. I think in this environment, I think it probably would be wise if maybe UT considered it because, you know, I don't know how you interview coaching candidates.
Yeah, give him another year because you got a new arena coming up there, too. Right?
Yeah, another year and a half. You're exactly right. So,
yeah.
You know, there was talk about a mock bracket that the selection committee should reveal it. You know, it wouldn't have been finished because the conference tournaments. Do you think they should have put that out there?
Well, you know, there's pro and con about that. I thought it'd be great to see, you know, what they were thinking. However, it's a little empty because with the tournaments not continuing, you're sitting there wondering about certain things. I can understand their rationale, but we're going to have a bracket eight. Listen to this. Tomorrow night, ESPN, 7 Eastern time. It's going to be a lot of fun. 64 players. We're picking the all-time greatest player. The fans are going to vote. 64. The number one seeds are people like, obviously, Luau Cinder, people like, but the bottom line is it's men's and women's, and it's based on career achievements, not just based on who would beat somebody one-on-one. And that's going to be tomorrow night, Thursday at 7. We're so thirsty for basketball to try anything now.
I love that so much. And then we're taping this on a Wednesday. So tonight, guys, because the podcast comes out on Thursday. So tonight on ESPN, it's happening. My picks, I'm just going to go on and off the top of the dome.
Uh-huh.
Luau Cinder
right.
is the number one, the best men's player, greatest ever. Women's, give me some Diana Taurasi. She's the great, most talented. Better than Sue Bird. Better than Candace Parker. She wanted
But what about you guys all forgetting one? Wait.
Cheryl Miller.
You're forgetting one.
Who we got?
What about if you base it on a career achievement? Remember what I said. Based on who would be glued, dominant. But what they've done in their career, nobody, whether men or women, can top Breonna Stewart.
That's true.
Four national championships. Four times the MVP of the tournament. Player of the year, the only one three times AP player of the year. I mean, how do you top that? Bill Russell was the greatest player in terms of winning, but he didn't have that. He won two national titles. So anyway, it's fun. It's a fun kind of thing. And I think people enjoy it. It's going to be 2 hours tomorrow, Thursday night.
Do you give us a peek of who you like, or who's your top five, or any little peek, glance ahead?
Give us a tease, Dick.
You mean as far as for the show?
Yeah, no, who you like. Who will be in your top five, maybe?
Oh, my guys? Well, you mentioned Lou Alcindor. How could you not like Lou Alcindor?
Yeah.
But I'm going to tell you a guy I loved, because I never measured him by statistics. I did a book about, oh, God, with Dick Weiss. I did my first
Hoops.
Number 4 years.
Yep.
I did a book with Hoops Weiss about 10 years ago.
Right.
It was based on my first 30 years in ESPN, the top 50 players of basketball that I covered. Number one, I had Patrick Ewing. Mm-hmm. Number two, I had Ralph Sampson. Number three, I had Christian Laettner. And four, I had Michael Jordan. Okay? That was my opinion. Now, let me say this. Patrick Ewing, to me, was the only player I ever covered that, to me, before the game started, before you tipped off, he was worth 15 points in the book because of his defensive intimidation, that you got nothing around the basket, nothing. You could even think about going there. And to me, that is so misunderstood by a lot of people. They look, oh, stats, he averaged 25, that guy averaged 27. Oh, really? There's a place on the defensive end, too. The same with Russell when he played for San Fran.
And you know what? The game has changed so much. Back then, guys were dumping it into the centers, and you needed legitimate shot blockers at the rim or you were going to get beat.
Oh, yeah.
Now guys are just firing those threes up, and the defensive center has kind of been underemphasized the way the game has changed to more of a European style, Dick.
Yeah, we don't have the low post kind of players any longer. They won't want to step outside, and the NBA has got that now with the, you know, even their four-man stepping out, show jumpers, et cetera. But I don't know. The game, to me, too many three-point shots, man. NBA and college, I'm watching guys have layups. Instead of taking a layup, they're running through the three-point line.
Exactly. You know, Tim Duncan's another one. Stayed four years at Wake Forest. He didn't have all the
Tim
supporting
Duncan's
cast.
A great one. David Robinson.
David Robinson's,
I mean,
the Navy.
In fact, I'll be honest with you. I probably shouldn't be sharing this with the show. I did a little screaming when we did the show, basically, about the fact the seeding. Our seeding really made me worry. And I'll tell you a couple of guys that didn't make the 64 that I think should have been in there. Do you guys ever hear of a guy named Tom Cola?
Tom who?
Gola, G-O-L-A.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. He wasn't LaSalle? Iona. He wasn't Iona, was he?
No, LaSalle.
LaSalle, that's right.
Jeff Rulin was Iona.
Larry Bird. He was Larry Bird before Larry Bird.
You don't know, it's Pete Maravich. I used to love Pete Maravich and his floppy gray socks. You know.
Well, Pistol Pete was a concert. When you went to watch Pistol Pete play, you're watching him and nobody else. In fact, the other four players on his team, they would stand around and want to take pictures while he was doing his thing.
Yeah.
He scored 40-some points every year. He averaged 40-some. And I think, that I know it was without the three-point shot.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, who
for
knows
sure.
What those ever. Hey, do you have your final four? Who was your final four?
Well, you know, not knowing where brackets would be, I'll tell you a team
sure.
I liked. Like Florida State very much. In fact, I will tell you, I would have picked Florida State to win the national title.
Leonard Hamilton, nice.
They're on fire.
I liked them because they were very deep. Mm-hmm. You couldn't really scout them in terms of keying on one or two players. You never knew who he's going to play, who's going to hurt you. They could rotate 10 guys. Then I liked Dayton. I really loved the kid Toppin, and their backcourt was terrific. Crutcher and a kid by the name of Chapman was terrific, and they got a guy off the bench transferred from Michigan named Watson was really good. So I liked Dayton a lot. They were better than advertised when I went to see them. And you got to like Kansas. Kansas certainly would have a bouquet coming on the way he did. He was certainly special. And then right after that, to me, it's like wide open. But I liked Gonzaga. I liked the Zags. I really did. I had them in the West Coast Championship game, and they were impressive to me.
Well, they had like four new players this year, and boy, what did they lose? Two games, I think. And
Mark Few's just a hell of a coach.
Got that 6'10 freshman, Tim.
In fact, I will tell you this. My number one team next year, preseason, I don't care what anybody's bringing in, I don't care who they have, my preseason number one will be Gonzaga. They got really great kids coming in. They got size. They got people returning to come play. This kid, True Timmy, is going to be an incredible player for them at 6'9". Petrushev could certainly play, as we know, player of the year in the league, and the kid Kispert could shoot the ball, and they got a freshman coming in, the highest-rated recruit that Mark Few's ever recruited, a kid from Minnesota, Jalen Suggs. He's a point guard, they say, is a pro. He's just, so they're going to be unbelievable next year.
Well, speaking of next year, where do you stand on the whole eligibility, maybe restoring a year for the seniors or everybody who lost the end of the postseason?
Yeah, you know, I think it's a great thought, as Bill Self said, and I really applaud people for thinking about it. But I said this earlier today on a show I was on, an ESPN show in St. Louis. I made a statement, and I really believe this, that there's a lot of ramifications that have to be said. It's easy to say make them all eligible. How do you determine, for example, are you just talking about all the teams that were supposed to play in the NCAA tournament? And then you got the problem deciding, you know, was Texas one of those teams? Did they have to beat Texas Tech? So you run a little, then what about scholarship money? What about money? What about roster sizes? Because
exactly.
If you make all those kids come back, what about, let's say, the kids that you recruited now, and what about those kids who thought they're coming to a school and they're going to lose their seniors and they're going to play right away? Now they're saying, hey, maybe I should get out of my scholarship because I'm not going to play there. Those guys are coming back.
Exactly.
And there's a lot of Mike Krzyzewski and I talked about it about 3 days ago, and he said the same thing as me. He said, it's easy to say to let them all come back. But then when you start talking about money and you talk about roster sizes and all that, it really isn't easy as people think.
It's a lot of layers.
The gesture is great. The gesture is great.
Yeah.
And then you got to think about this, Kirk and Cedric.
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you going to reward and give a kid a whole year? It might be for one game. King gets beat in one game. I mean, does that make logic?
Well, and I think the number is 60% of teams were going to be finished with their conference tournaments at no chance. So,
and that's why I just don't think they should do it.
Yeah.
I mean, you're talking about 300 so Division I teams. You can't
350,
You can't assume that everybody was going to go deep in a tournament. And what about the bad teams that didn't even make the tournament?
Sure.
Why are they being
60%.
Rewarded? Yeah, why are they being rewarded? So I just don't think it's a really good idea.
And I wonder if it makes more sense, Dick, to do it for baseball, golf, that were just in not even at midseason yet.
That makes sense.
Softball.
No, those sports I have no problem with. Really, I don't. Those kids were denied a whole season.
Yeah.
The lacrosse team, the golf team, tennis team, baseball. I think some teams play two games, three games, that's it. So I have no problem with the spring sports. Basketball, I'm just not sure it's a positive thing to do.
Well, didn't your girls play tennis, college tennis?
Yeah, my two girls went to Notre Dame and played tennis at the Golden Dome. In fact, Texas, by the way, is terrific at tennis.
Yeah, they are.
Texas men's team has been off the charts.
Yeah, they won it all last year. You're right.
Yeah, they did. They recruited a kid that trains with my grandson. I got two grandsons who are twins, actually. And their mother played at Notre Dame, and their father played quarterback at Notre Dame. Their father played, he's the backup to Ron Paulus, and he took over when Paulus got hurt.
Krug.
And Thomas is now circuit court judge here in the state of Florida. But anyway, families all know that my daughter's a double domer. My other daughter is a double domer. Her husband is a lacrosse former star. Notre Dame's a surgeon right now. But anyway, I have the grandsons, right? They're twins. They're both in the top 20 in the country, five-star blue chip recruits according to Tennis Recruiting. And they're juniors. And they were getting recruited by everyone. I mean, getting offers this school, that school. They finally took their visits. As juniors, they went to Michigan, they went to Notre Dame, they went to Duke, they went to Florida. I forgot the fifth school, but they went all the schools.
That's
we
awesome.
We thought as a family, they had locks to go to Notre Dame. The coach was recruited since the eighth grade, and they walked in my house. And when they told me, I was shocked. They said, Papa, I know you're going to be disappointed. Well, we made our choice. It was all in the papers, by the way. If you Google their name, Thomas, I Google their name, the Krug brothers, K-R-U-G. So anyway, they said, Papa, we made our decision. I said, wait, really? The way you're telling me, I can tell there's a little tone. We thought it was a luck. I'm telling you, my wife and I, family, Notre Dame was a luck. Coach recruited him since the eighth grade. So anyway, they said, we're going to Duke.
Oh.
I said, Duke? Why Duke over Notre Dame? They're both great schools. We have family. have scholarships there. In fact, on my name, we gave them an endowment, and they give the scholarships to kids that that participate in activities that don't get financial aid, the cheerleaders, the band. So anyway, he says, they finally said to me, they made a good reason. They said, Papa, very simple. We're football players. We're going to Notre Dame. But we want to play outdoor tennis. And we don't want to play indoor tennis. And it doesn't get cold here in January, February. So you know what? Hey, that's not a bad choice, though. Duke's a pretty good school.
Not too bad. Not too shabby.
Now, my other daughter, my granddaughter, I have to tell you this. My other granddaughter, she's a senior now. She committed to Notre Dame. She's going to play tennis at Notre Dame.
I love it. Well, Dick, we appreciate you being with us, man. It's been a little slice of heaven for me and Cedric. And hope you come back again. And, boy, we're going to miss you on the airwaves during all this March Madness.
I appreciate that, Kirk and Cedric. If you could do me one thing.
Yes.
The biggest thing that means everything to me now is raising money for kids battling cancer. Nothing worse than that. Spoke at a funeral this summer. Just tore my heart out watching them. I got a call, actually, about 96 hours ago, three, 4 days ago. Got a call from a dad locally here to just tell me the news and just crushed me, the pain in his voice, that his 18-month-old son, Logan, had passed away. Everything we do is for kids battling cancer. I have a big gala. Dr. Shaka's come to the gala already. We've had a gala. We have a gala. We honor all these big stars. This year, we're scheduled to honor Bruce Arians, Mark Few, Stephen A. Smith. We give a special courage award out from John Saunders' name. Somebody battling cancer. That's an inspiration.
That's year. Awesome.
Jim Kelly. We got a situation where we're giving $250,000 grant in the name of, you know the guy, Mitch Albom, fine journalist.
Detroit,
lost his daughter to cancer, brain cancer. So anyway, if anybody could go to DickVitale.com, they can make a donation right there, and all the money goes to the V Foundation for Kids Battling Cancer.
Dick, we are all over that. DickVitale.com. Go and give money. We have to beat this insidious disease. Dick, we appreciate it very much.
On Second Thought.
Hello, friends. This is Jim Nance of CBS Sports, and you're listening to On Second Thought with my friends Kirk and Seth.
On Second Thought.
Doug, love me some Dickie V. How about going from Dickie V to CDC? And I'm not talking about the Center for Disease Control. We're going to put coronavirus to the back burner and talk some sports with one Chris Del Conte. How are you?
I am doing fantastic. Great to be on you. It just seems like I was on episode 169. So what is this episode?
This is 173.
That's 173. Well, you know, I am CDC, as they say. So I just stayed a Holiday Inn last night so I can answer any questions I like concerning the corona.
Oh, we know you haven't been in a Holiday Inn in 20 years. You're straight Ritz-Carlton. We
know
you.
I don't know if they're open anymore, are they?
No one's open.
But hey, Tom Baudet does leave the light on.
He does leave the light on. Absolutely. So, but how is life for Chris Del Conte these last few days?
It's pretty surreal, really.
Yeah.
You just think about what transpired last week. We are getting ready to get on. We are a half hour from our team playing Texas Tech, and we get the notice that there is no game, and you have to go down and pull your team off to get them in the locker room and say the tournament has been canceled. It was that surreal moment when you're just looking at your coaches and your student athletes, and you're talking about what is happening as a pandemic, and it hits home. You know, just at that same time that the Utah players from Utah had just gotten the positive notification of the corona, we get on the team plane and we're flying home, and Karen Aston, both men and women, and she leans over, she goes, they just canceled the NCAA tournament. So it's been a moment-by-moment news flow that's come in that it's been fluid at best, but sometimes it's been clunky because everything is just over-evolving. We put out this statement. We're going to have, for the next 2 weeks, we're going to look, listen, and learn and see what's going to happen. And yesterday morning, our president said, hey, we're going completely online learning. And you're asking kids to vacate the dorms and move home after sending them home for an extended spring break. So it's just such a ever-evolving time. I haven't shaved since that time point, and I will not shave until we have a competition for our Longhorns. So, I'm going to be Duck Dynasty when we come around the fall.
Oh, man. That is just that is just a hideous visual.
That's a Gruden visual with a three-piece, buddy. I just wanted you to put that in perspective.
Yeah, but you know what? It's going to be good to see that long beard, because that means our games are going to be going back. I'm telling you, I'm not going to apologize for loving sports. It is the fabric of what brings people together. Nothing better than watching athletics and young people improve on the court, on the field, and as people and sports. If not for sports, I would not be here. I'll tell anyone who listens, I would not be here. Has it really hit home to you just how bad this is and how long that this could be? As we just wait for our medical community to come up with a vaccine, Chris?
No, I think, you know, you don't have a manual for something like this. I look back in my administrative time, and I remember 9/11. And when 9/11 hit, it took us to our knees.
It did.
It took us to our knees. Right. Yet, sport is what galvanized us.
That's right.
Sport is uniquely American. College athletics is unique to our university systems. And when you start to look at what did we do around 9/11, it was President Bush throwing out that pitch at Yankee Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Every college had something unique to celebrate America and celebrate our communities. And when you take that away with this pandemic, it's kind of like the world stops.
Mm-hmm.
Our coaches don't know what to do with themselves. Eddie Reese told me the other day, at 78 years old, he goes, I pumped out 100 sit-ups, push-ups today and sit-ups.
Wow.
I'm thinking to myself, but he goes, didn't do it all at once. But I did it throughout the day. And I start thinking, there's Coach Reese pumping out 100 push-ups in one day,
wow,
keeping that mind, which is so active in coaches in terms of getting that child to go from point A to point B, in his case, to represent, not only win a national championship, but get ready for the Olympic Games. It's all they know. And then you have a population of 523 student-athletes that come to the University of Texas to get a great degree, but all they know is athletics. They know practice. They're structured in their schedule. And all these things have been turned upside down, and we're now trying to come around a new normal. And then the president comes back and says, we're going to go to online learning and not away from campus and shutting down campus. And that's just another evolution of what has taken place. And we should never, ever be unabashed about our love of sport and what it does for society. We should embrace that, and we do. But during this time period when there is none, and it's just ever-evolving, this pandemic is changing every single day, and you get so much media. I was talking to someone the other day about polio. When polio hit this country before the vaccine, there was not mass media. So you didn't have this idea of mobilization like you do today. It was just kind of moving from community, and it was going around and around. But not like it is today, where we're just shutting down. When our mayor said no bars are open, no restaurants till May 2nd, I was like, what just happened? That was from yesterday, we're moving fine, to today, this is moving on, takeout only. We have businesses. We have people that are losing their jobs. We have businesses that are going to be hurt. We have our economy that's unraveling right now. I think it's going to finally steady. But these are hitting home. And sport is usually what galvanizes these opportunities. Right, for people to just band together, and right now they're not. So my heart goes out to the Longhorn Nation, but more importantly to those that are afflicted, and our nation as a whole.
Well, you're exactly right. I mean, we usually look to sports, and that's taken away too, as the sports world has gone dark, and everybody's, there's just this air and sense of uncertainty and fear, and it's important for all of our leaders to stay calm and exhibit some control. And I know to a certain degree we're powerless to this virus, but we can do what we can within our scope. And you know, like you said, all these athletes are just thrown into this vast unknown. As of this taping Wednesday late afternoon, is the campus empty there, Chris, or what's that timetable?
It's relatively empty, because remember, it was spring break.
And that's true
spring break, so It is empty.
Right.
And you walk around, it's surreal. It's like driving around town. It's surreal. I saw a picture last night of Times Square, and no one was there.
Yeah.
But we have to heed the warning of our medical professionals telling us self-quarantine. Stay. We need to make sure that we slow down this virus, that we don't over-inundate our health systems. And what they're telling us is for our own protection, and we get that.
Definitely.
And young people, They think that at this point in time that they're immortal. So they don't see why. They're like, what do you know? I am, you know, I'm King Kong. I can do this. And at the end of the day, it's not about you. It's about our older population. But it's about everybody, because they can be carriers. And we need to subside this pandemic, and we need to get a handle on it. And that's what we just got to do.
Yeah.
And that makes a lot of sense. And, you know, and our prayers go out to Dr. Fanvis. His lovely wife contracted the virus. And our colleague, Kaylee Hartung, who worked at the Longhorn Network, an ABC News national correspondent, went to Washington State to report on it, and she contracted the coronavirus.
Kevin Durant.
And Kevin Durant, a Longhorn himself. So it's hitting home, and when famous people are getting it, no one is immune. I mean, it doesn't care what your socioeconomic status is or whatever. You can get this virus. Wash your hands. Avoid unnecessary travel, unnecessary social stuff, and just be safe and take care of yourself. Stay home is the big thing. Stay home.
What are you telling your coaches? I know you've had meetings with them. What are the most questions that they have, and what are you telling them to do?
I mean, you know, I just lean back to my father. You know, just be honest. Tell them what you know. We don't have all the answers, right? Be humble during this process and stay true to yourself. But what I try to tell our coaches is just, here's what I know today. We had a head coaches meeting this morning. And I asked President Fembus to join us on the call, and he just gave us an update of what was taking place, knowing that the new normal is not normal, and knowing that they're hurting as well as our student athletes, and just putting perspective in what we have to do, and then mindful that they're a leader of their sports program, and we got to show strength and compassion. But at the same time, we got to make sure that we're following the proper protocols. And this too shall pass. It's not if, it's just when. And we got to get used to the new normal for the foreseeable future. But sport will return. Our kids will be back on the competition field. But in the meantime, we need to show restraint. And we just have those conversations across the board, and that's all you can do.
Is there anything you can tell the coaches, or are they just in total limbo and at home with their families?
We constantly have communication about what has taken place. What spring semester looks like, what distance learning looks like, making sure our kids are safe. When we have yet to determine when we're going to resume practice, if at all.
Right.
But we have these discussions, and we just, here's what we know today. It is fluid, but we'll keep you posted. And we send constant communication to our parents, our student athletes, to our coaches and staff about what is taking place. And then we also communicate to the Longhorn Nation via my 40-acre insider, just trying to tell you what is taking place. At the same time, until the information is fluid, and what happens now is everyone gets on the internet, everyone's on the phone overreacting or reacting what is out there, and we just got to continue to say, this is what we know. Here's what the University of Texas is doing. Here's what the city of Austin is doing, and make sure that we just communicate that information.
Well, you say you've met with your coaches. Has there been an announcement on spring football practice and the spring game on April 25th?
There has not been, but at the end of the day, the reality is that I'm just gathering more and more information. I think the SEC postponed everything to April 15th. So as we continue to gather, I'm more looking at what is spring practice going to look at, what is the spring game going to look like. And are those things going to be moved back? Are they going to be postponed? We don't have all the answers yet, because right now we're just trying to get through with what campus set forth yesterday. Because what we had planned on before was everyone returning on the 30th, and then knowing that we were going to have a delay in schedule. So what I want to make sure that we get done is whatever we do is uniform around the country, that we have a start date, we have a practice date, we all get an equal amount of 15 practices. The game itself is not a concern to me. It's what is getting our student athletes, I mean, I'm talking the spring game, getting our student athletes prepared for the coming season, and when does that take place. So everything is fluid, and those conversations are fluid, but they'll start to galvanize in the coming days.
You got Pro Day is scheduled for April 1st. Are you guys going to move that back?
For sure that'll be moved back, just because it's on campus and campus has been closed.
So when might you make a ruling on the spring football? Because the dorms are closed, right? So the players don't really have anywhere to live, do they?
Well, a lot of, you know, again, it depends on what happens with, you can look at if with dorms closed, there's mitigating circumstances where there's people staying on campus that have no place to go. We're also looking at our student athletes that have, this is their home. Right? So we're working through a lot of issues, Kurt. And at the end of the day, we want to make sure that we provide. Practice is not important to me right now.
Right.
It is. The safety of our kids are important. As important as pro day is, knowing that we have what we have in terms of access to facilities, we'll address all those issues in the next coming days. But the most important thing is that our community is safe.
You're exactly right. And
that's all I'm focusing on right now. And we will follow the lead of the university.
Right.
Sport is critically important, but it is not important to the lives of those in our community.
And we all talked about how important sports are, and it's a shame on so many levels, and it's such a tragedy. And I know Tom Herman was interested in getting spring football with seven new coaches, but this is just untimely, obviously, and tragic for so many people on so many levels, isn't it?
Oh, sure. And I think at the end of the day, you got to figure out when. It's not if, it's when.
Yeah.
Practice will resume, and we know that, and we've got to make sure that there's a common date where everyone around the country is starting at the same time, or having the same ample opportunity to have 15 practices before fall's camp. So all those things are going to be fluid, but they're not to be decided today.
I think the SEC canceled all their spring activities of all sports, I think.
They canceled spring activities, haven't canceled practice yet.
Yeah.
But they canceled the spring game and activities. Same, we've canceled spring practice. I mean, our spring activities, we just haven't dealt with practice yet, and we'll continue that conversation will continue to evolve in the next couple of days.
Right. Well, as far as basketball goes and this eligibility question that's come up, you know, I exchanged texts with Bob Bowlesby, the commissioner. He said he met with all of the ADs today on Wednesday and said there's still, you know, you guys visited for 2 hours and there's just so many layers to this. It's very complicated. What can you share with us about the possibility of, you know, eligibility being restored or
I think you're looking at eligibility for spring sports specifically for a moment. They're the ones that missed their season.
Yes.
You know, you could look at a basketball season and realize that out of the 300 teams, 64 would get into the NCAA tournament or 68 and 32 would be the NIT.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of those teams that already ended their season. So the conversation really around the winter sports is they've already completed their season. They just missed out a chance on the championship.
Right.
Part of the season, but their season was relatively complete.
Absolutely.
On the spring sports, their seasons were just beginning.
Right.
So I think the eligibility questions are going to be around, are centered two-part. One on the winter sports, and what do we do for those that missed the opportunity for a championship season, even though a significant amount of athletes had already completed their season. So there's that question. But secondly is the spring component of those seniors that didn't get an opportunity to compete for a championship or have a season. So those conversations are just so they're fluid, and everyone has an opinion of what it should and shouldn't be. So today was just a conversation with 10 athletic directors and our commissioner to just talk about our opinion. We will meet again later on in the week to formulate a thought. But we laid out four or five options for us to ponder.
Mm-hmm.
We will take those four or five options, sit down and digest them, send them to our coaches for comment and thought, and then I'll galvanize on a single thought for our meeting on Friday with hopes that we would have at least a formation of an opinion to take to the NCAA. You're never going to get a perfect opinion in an imperfect situation.
Mm-hmm.
What you're trying to do is get the very best opinion down that says this is what we'd like to do moving forward. At the same time, there's a massive economic equation to this. And
exactly.
Economics should not drive the opportunity for young people that are getting an education and using sport as a way to not only get an education at the University of Texas, but compete at the highest level. And in our sports, especially the spring sports, almost every sport right now is in the top five in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And several of them are number one that are competing for that, and they're highly competitive athletes, and we want to make sure ensure that they have that opportunity. It's varying, you know, on what's going to be.
When you heard from the other ADs in y'all's meeting, Chris, did it seem like there was a consensus more to be more sympathetic to the spring sports as far as an extra year of eligibility then? Is that the way you came away?
No, it was not. It was not towards spring or winter. It was just all over the map because you had wrestling. You had men's and women's swimming. You had indoor track.
Right.
So it really wasn't. It was just, what should it be? It was just a thought.
Yeah.
We really understood what spring was, and spring is different because it was a complete season, that their season was just starting. So we know the spring had a different component than those that just missed out on a championship season. Now, you can look at wrestling, swimming. They had already, the conference tournaments were over. We knew who was going to compete for the national championship. So there's a very small number that are actually competing for a national championship. There's a larger number that their season has already ended.
Now,
does that make sense for the seniors?
Yes. Absolutely,
So the dialogue was just back and forth, right? And then we knew that there was a lot of seniors and a lot of seniors that, that just started their spring season that had a lot more competition to go. So it was not, there was no opinion formulated. It was more, we were just talking, just like we are now, spitballing all kinds of scenarios.
Right.
Knowing that we got to galvanize on an opinion as a group sooner than later.
That makes sense. So you said during the basketball season that you wouldn't discuss job status until after it was over with your basketball coaches. Where are you in the evaluation process, first with Shaka and then with Karen Aston?
That's the least of our concern right now. I understand you guys are doing your job, but we have a massive disruption. And the massive disruption is what is going on in our society and what is taking place locally with our student athletes and what's happening around the country. So I don't think that question or that conversation has not been on the front burner of my mind, as I'm sure it has on yours, because that is your job. Mine is making sure the safety of our student athletes are first and foremost, and their educational needs, because we thought they were going to come back March 30th, and now we're going completely online. We have a lot of kids that go home, don't have computers, don't have internet at home. You got to figure out how they're going to do distance learning. I mean, we have a lot bigger issues to fry right now.
And you don't have a timetable for making those decisions?
Currently, I just laid out my timetables to make sure that now that we're going to distance learning, that all of our kids have a home to go to and have an opportunity to further their education at the University of Texas for the next 6 weeks, because it's going to be online. And how do we do that? We're 523, and we got to make sure that we do that, and that they matriculate this spring eligible with the opportunity to continue their education in a traditional sense next year. But so we're just addressing all those questions.
And you mentioned the foreign athletes. I wonder what kind of numbers you have, your 523 that are international students, and I wonder how many of those are, you know, are they just kind of held hostage here? What do they do?
I mean, some of them have went home, knowing that we're going to have distance learning. Some of them are now coming back and realize that they're going to stay. We got to figure out different housing for them. We got to figure out different learning opportunities for them. So we've had a lot of kids say they're going to go home. And at the University of Texas, we are what starts here changes the world is our motto. What we educate changes the world. We have kids from all over the world competing for the University of Texas and that privilege to wear the burnt orange and white. Yet when this pandemic hit, a lot of their parents said that they want them home.
Right.
They sent them home.
Right.
We're adjusting to that.
Do you know how many there are international athletes?
I couldn't tell you. I mean, it depends on the team.
Probably gotten to be a bigger number, you know, especially in...
It's a significant number.
Yeah, yeah. And what about construction in the north end zone, the basketball arena? Is that stopped or is that ongoing?
They're still ongoing. I walk out there every day, and I'm like, okay, they're plugging along. So both the basketball arena and the stadium are still working at it. I'm crossing my fingers, but I haven't heard anything about work stoppage. And they're continuing to do what they're doing.
Well,
we all got to work. You know, everyone has to work. Got to feed our families, and we got to be mindful of that too.
Absolutely. And how many staff do y'all have in your athletic department?
About 370, 350, let's just say 350.
And how many of them are working at UT, and how many are working at home?
Almost all of them are working remotely.
Wow.
All of them are working remotely. We're set up remotely. We send them home. We have Zoom. We have different ways. And I tell you what I'm really proud of. Our team, our staff, boy, they've responded in spades. been unbelievable to watch them. You know, pressure will reveal character, and I've never been more proud of a group of people banding together and uniting around Texas than this during this time. It's been wonderful to watch. We have essential personnel that are coming in to make sure that the building is still operational. But for instance, they're just we have them flowing one day one person, one day the next, and we have a great flow chart. But our staff has been tremendous. But we've asked them all to stay home, work remotely,
right?
We will address it as the situation unfolds.
And you've put on your site and your column letter about refunds and season tickets and renewal and football season tickets. You kind of spell that out at your website, correct?
Yeah, I think the most important thing is knowing that we're all hurting, but we also know that the Longhorn Nation is a huge part of what we do and what we are all about. We know that families are going to be making adjustments, and we've asked that we postpone. We've extended the renewal deadline to May 1 to give some time for people to make some adjustments, and we'll continue to evaluate as this moves on. And we know that baseball and softball, we've offered an opportunity to refund or credit their account, and some people just said, keep my donation to help the cause. So the nation has just been phenomenal. You really don't understand how the power of the Longhorn Nation until you're immersed in it, and the selfless attitude of people under duress is amazing to me. They've responded in great fashion, like I knew they would.
Well, before we let you go, CDC, having been around you, you're just not the type to just sit in one place for long. The visual of you sitting at home... not being able to go to a game or, you know, the 4 or 5 contest, that's got to be killing you. What's your new normal? What have you been doing to ease the cabin fever that's going on at Shea Del Conte?
Well, let me run some by it. To be truthful, when the president, we had a head coaches meeting that day on Friday. We came back and I had met with the whole football staff, the student athletes. Then we met with head coaches, senior leadership, and all staff. And then we proceeded to meet with every single team. And then when I found out that President Fembus's wife had contracted the virus, I immediately stopped all those meetings, went down and got tested. I was home for 2 days, and my wife looked at me and she goes, I run west of Mopac. You run east of Mopac. So I am sitting in my office right now because she said, get out. I was driving her nuts after 2 days. So I come in by myself. I do a lot of reading. I read our reports. I look at our financial outlook. I start to look at what we can do and maneuver for everybody. But, during a time of crisis comes opportunity. And I'm looking for ways to galvanize on those opportunities when they sure arise. But the staff has just been incredible because they've allowed us to do our jobs remotely, and they've responded in great fashion. But I am not at the house, and my wife does not want me at the house.
And how is Greg Fenves' wife, Carmel? How's she doing?
She's awesome. I mean, she's recovering in great fashion. So is his daughter.
Good.
It's amazing to me that both of those had a tested positive, and there's a President Fembus has a negative test. I'm like, he's made out of iron. That guy right there. I'm like, dude, there's nothing sticks to him. It's just the best. And you know what? I tell you, leadership from him has been remarkable for this institution because, you have 52,000 students. You think about faculty, staff, and every decision is made. He's just he's incredible to watch because there's no wishy-washy with him. He says, here's what we're going to do, and here's why we're going to do it. And he takes a lot of opinions in, but he's galvanized and resolute in his thought. And when we make the decision, it's awesome because that's how you got to be right now. You can't be wishy-washy. You need to, err on the side of caution and let's make sure safety comes first.
And as far as you know, none of your athletes, coaches, staff have tested positive for coronavirus.
So far so good. Knock on wood.
Yeah, that's good.
Well, Chris, man, we appreciate it and stay safe. Thanks again for the time. And, hey, we didn't get you to 300. It only 4 episodes and you were back.
I appreciate being went from 169 to 173. Outstanding episode. You guys be great.
I can't wait to see pictures of you and your growing beard, and I hope it doesn't get too furry. I hope.
Just think Duck Dynasty, buddy. Coming. My wife's not happy about it, but I'm going to let it all hang out.
Hey, tell her I said hi. I pray for that lady daily. I do. Take care, brother.
All right, boys. You guys be great.
Thank you, Chris. Bye bye. Right,
bye.
On Second Thought.
That will do it for episode 173 of On Second Thought. We have to thank Texas Athletic Director Chris Del Conte and ESPN broadcasting great Dick Vitale for joining us. For the Duck Kirk Bowles, I'm Cedric Golden. You guys stay safe out there.
You've been listening to On Second Thought, powered by Hook'em.com. Join Sed and Kirk every Thursday at lunch for a new episode. Archived episodes are available on iTunes and Google Android Play.